Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You know what time it is. That's right, current sports coming at you on this Monday, February 4th, 2019. What a weekend, huh? What a weekend. You know, for sports fans here in the area of East Lansing, it wasn't a great weekend. Let's keep it real. You know, after the loss to Indiana, the Michigan State men's basketball team just shockingly falling to not a great Indiana team. An Indiana team with a lot of talent, but, I mean, this squad was you know, riding a seven-game losing streak. Look, dead in the water. College game day is in the house. I mean, Michigan State highly favored, and then that happened. So many of you were hoping that the Super Bowl would be entertaining and would kind of put a Band-Aid on that wound from the previous day. But let's keep it real. The Super Bowl was a bit boring, wasn't it? I mean, we're talking about the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of the Super Bowl. The commercials were and I think we've been saying that for a long, long time now. However, there were a few commercials that were a bit funny. And there's one commercial that was done by the National Football League themselves, celebrating, I believe, 100 years, and they brought back all of these legends. I'll expound more on that commercial later on this hour because I think it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sports commercial ever. All right, it was that good. And then the halftime show, and I'm in the minority here. I enjoyed the halftime show. I thought Maroon 5, Connor, you know me, I'm not a Maroon 5 fan, but I thought, you know, again, I think it goes to this negative society thing. Like, you know, I don't know what they were expecting. It's Maroon 5. I mean, when you read Maroon 5 at the halftime, you know, what were you saying to yourself? All right, I'm ready. I think they're going to be good. So my expectations weren't real high. They exceeded my expectations, though. I thought that they had a great show. Adam Levine, you know, had great energy the entire show. Big Boy, he should have done more than two songs.
Big Boy was the only thing to make it not an absolute garbage fest.
Travis Scott was great. With SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay, the intro was cool.
The intro
After
was hot.
That, oh, man. Oh, I mean, Adam Levine just didn't seem to have the energy.
What?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the halftime show at all.
I'm in the minority. I thought that the Super Bowl halftime show, especially in comparison to what we've seen in recent history with the exception of Prince. I mean, Prince was, my gosh, he was good. Michael Jackson way back in the day.
Well, Prince had Mother Nature to give him the rain for Purple Rain. So, like, I mean, that was the best performance I've ever seen.
All the stars aligned for Prince, right? When he performed that, I mean, Purple Rain and it's raining. I mean, my gosh, you can't script that better. But, I mean, in recent history, I mean, Justin Timberlake was horrible last year. You know, Justin Timberlake was a snooze fest. I thought it was better than last year's. So, but the game itself was just, it was bad. It was a bad game. We came in with so much hype too, right? You know, you had the NFC and the AFC championship game so ridiculously entertaining, both going into overtime. Fun stuff. So you're thinking that these two teams meeting would be, you know, something close to that. But nah, just a snooze fest. If you love defense, oh my gosh, you were in heaven. But there's not many football fans out there. There's not many sports fans, period, that like defense.
Well, come out and say it. Saints-Patriots would have been better.
It probably would have been more entertaining.
I'm going to leave it at that.
It probably would have been more entertaining. I'm not even going to hold you up. Connor. I agree. At the end of the day, though, Tom Brady continues to add to his already GOAT status, now reaching Michael Jordan's championship accomplishment of six championships. Tom Brady has six rings now. That I believe that's more than any football player, right? Is that correct?
He tied it.
He tied it. Okay, so he tied it. He's tied. Now.
He's tied for six. It's Charles Haley, I think.
Is it? See, we can't remember the other dude.
From Dallas, defensive end.
Okay, gotcha. Defensive end. He's a defensive end. He's not a. I mean, well, he
Hall of Famer.
I mean, Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. And he's a Cowboy, too.
Yeah,
what
is he doing here?
What am I doing, right? What am I doing? But Tom Brady is just that good, man. I mean, playing the most difficult position, I believe, in all of sports and winning now six rings. Wow. And then then did you see the media scrum after, Connor?
CBS have, like, cut to literally anything else? I mean, come on.
I like watching it.
There was, like, no audio. It was just nothing. Like, go to that Sky Cam they had. That's fine. But, like, for a good, like, 5 minutes, CBS, like, looked like they didn't know what to do.
Well, no, I think they knew what they were doing. I think that was intentional because, I mean, it's Tom Brady. You know, he's just made history, another ring now. I think they just want to let that moment bleed. That's one of those let it bleed moments. You know, we'll never see this again. We'll never see another quarterback win six rings again. It may happen. I don't think for a long, long time. We may be, you know, in a retirement nursing home somewhere, being fed by a tube somewhere, Connor. All right, we will be old and gray when the next time we see something like this. So I think they realize how historic it was. They said, let it bleed, man. Look how crazy that is. Just Tony, Jim, turn your mic off and just let that moment be a moment. And it was crazy, man. I mean, watching the media scrum and everybody getting the same shot of Tom Brady. You know, everybody snapping pictures and Tracy Wolfson basically got trampled on. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the bodyguards were trying to make sure she was safe so that she could conduct an interview. But it was very chaotic. And what a scene, though. I mean, to see Tom Brady win yet another one, I know – most sports fans out there are tired of it, and we'll have some funny bites about the NFL honors that took place in Atlanta. It was hosted by Steve Harvey, and I think Steve, he has a solution to possibly Tom Brady not going to the Super Bowl year after year after year. All right, we'll have some fun with that. But I want to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to comment about the game, if you want to talk about the halftime show, if you want to talk about your favorite commercial. Mad props to Chloe and Haley, though, Beyonce's artist. They sung America the Beautiful. Beautiful rendition of it. And also Gladys Knight still got it. Oh, she just murdered the national anthem. Just beautiful rendition of it. I didn't know she had pipes like that still. But there was some controversy concerning her national anthem out in Vegas, because every year one of the prop bets are whether or not the national anthem will go over a certain set time. And there's some controversy over it. I'll explain that later on this hour as well. Again, we'll talk MSU men's basketball and the loss to Indiana. And, you know, we put up actually this morning, I put up on our Facebook page at WKAR News, Facebook.com/WKAR News. I just asked you guys out there, and again, it's still open, so you can still vote on this if you go to our Facebook page. I wanted to know what your thoughts were after watching that Saturday loss to Indiana for the Spartans. How worried are you about the Michigan State men's basketball team moving forward? And on one part of the poll, it's full panic mode, and it's a picture of Kermit the Frog, basically with his fingernails in his mouth, you know, looking very, very nervous. And then on the other side, it's a picture of Janet Jackson in one of her music videos, just looking just real chill and unbothered, saying, "One game, it happens." So right now we've got not many votes, five votes, and right now one game, it happens, is leading 80%. To 20%. So, and again, that's open, so we encourage you guys to vote on that poll at facebook.com/WKAR News. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. all right in the Super Bowl. As you know by now, the New England Patriots defeated the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. And those 16 points, the fewest scored in an NFL title game in the Super Bowl era. The Patriots led 3-0 at halftime and then scored the game-winning touchdown with 7 minutes remaining in the game. The Rams weren't able to get their prolific offense rolling and didn't run a single play inside the New England 26-yard line. They had a chance to tie the game with just more than, 4 minutes left when Jared Goff found Brandon Cooks at the right corner of the end zone. But Patriots defensive back Duron Harmon broke up the play. Goff threw an interception on his next attempt, and then the Patriots marched 72 yards in 9 plays to seal the win. Also, when it comes to the ratings, preliminary ratings for Sunday night Super Bowl 53 shows a 5% decline from last year's. Shown on CBS for the first time since 2016 and with ad spots going for around $5 million each, the Rams, that loss, scored a 44.9 out of 68 in metered market results. All told, when the final Nielsen numbers come in later today, the game will likely come in a little under 100 million viewers, meaning that it's a 10-year low for the Super Bowl. Now, we were just chatting. Connor Mathis, behind the glass, engineer of this Monday edition of Current Sports. Connor, we were chatting before the show began, and we were talking about those ratings hitting a low. We were debating as to why, right? And this is the big thing I want to clarify with folks out there. Yes, this is a 10-year low, and I think it has more so to do with the game not being entertaining than anything. I saw some folks out there, and a few of my fraternity brothers have been still protesting the National Football League due to its treatment of Colin Kaepernick, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, on year two now with that protest. And of course, we talked about last week New Orleans Saints fans protesting the Super Bowl and not watching because they feel that they were wronged in the championship game. That has nothing to do with these ratings being low, more so than the game, in my opinion, Connor, because when it comes to these ratings, only certain families who have been pegged as Nielsen rating viewers are counted in looking at the ratings. All right, so if you are not a Nielsen family, guess what? They didn't count your TV. So I want to clarify that. So for me, Connor, this is more so about the game than anything. Your take on that?
I'd say it's mostly the game. But I mean, maybe there's a small trace amount that were actual protests, but it was definitely more so the game was garbage.
It was
for the entire time. People who are complaining about it being too high scoring middle of the year, I hope they are happy with the snooze fest we got last night.
And, you know, Tony Romo, I thought Tony and Jim did as best of a job as they could, considering the game at hand. I thought they were still entertaining. Tony was funny. And in many ways, Tony was the voice of the people. I mean, Tony was very honest, saying, oh, you know, when a field goal finally went through, he said, oh, we have points. Finally, we have points. Like, he was very honest. And he wasn't trying to, you know, sell you something that we could clearly see was just not a fun product to watch.
Yeah, and the ridiculous part, too, is there was apparently talk going around the press boxes up there that if the Rams found a way to win, that the punter would have been the Super Bowl MVP. So, yeah, that's really a testament to the game.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, Tony also was very real with this. He made a joke during the broadcast, which you'll hear in our introduction in just a moment. There was one moment where, you know, I everybody's getting frustrated because there's no touchdowns being scored. And Tony says, oh, this is supposed to be the year of offense, right? And, you know, he had a nice little comment about that. Oh, the year of offense. Well, defense is winning this game. And that was certainly true last night. So, all right. And when it comes to early odds for next year's Super Bowl champion, check this. The Kansas City Chiefs and NFL MVP quarterback Patrick Mahomes are getting the odds makers' respect. The Chiefs are actually the favorites to win the Super Bowl next season, even though the New England Patriots are champions for the second time in 3 seasons. The Westgate Las Vegas Sportsbook opened odds to win Super Bowl 54 in early January, and the Chiefs had the second best odds at 7-1. Well, actually, well, I guess this is according to Westgate, because I saw that the Chiefs were number one then. So I guess according to Westgate, the Chiefs had the second best odds. The LA Rams are the favorite when it comes to the Westgate book. However, in the week since Kansas City have shifted to, 6-1, the favorite there at multiple other, again, other sports books in Las Vegas. When it comes to the Detroit Lions, the Lions are second from last in the league, I believe, Connor, at 100-1 odds. So
SpongeBob has more Super Bowl appearances than the Detroit Lions, just putting it out there.
I saw that tweet going viral yesterday. Very funny stuff. Even though we did see a Lion yesterday during the Super Bowl, Barry Sanders was highlighted on that NFL 100 commercial, which was an awesome commercial. I have more on that commercial later on this hour for weekend winners. All right, a day after Iowa upset number 5 Michigan and number 24 Wisconsin beat number 21 Maryland, the Big Ten snow globe was shaken up again, this time by the Indiana Hoosiers on Saturday. Archie Miller's Hoosiers went into East Lansing on Saturday and pulled off the improbable win against number 6 Michigan State, 79-75. The final that did go to overtime. Cassius Winston finished the game with a game-high 26 points on 9 of 22 shooting and adding 8 rebounds and 7 assists. It was another rough game for Nick Ward, who scored 11 points on 5 of 12 shooting but went just 1 of 9 at the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds. The Spartans as a team, 8 of 22 from the free throw line in the game. Can you believe that? More on that game in just a moment. On a positive note, when it comes to Michigan State hoops, the Michigan State women's basketball team rallied to a 74-66 win on Sunday after blowing a 15-point lead in the second half. Sydney Cooks and Shea Colley scored 20 points apiece as the number 22 Spartans pulled off the win. Jenna Allen became the fifth player in double figures with 2 late free throws for the Spartans, who have won 3 straight, 12-0 at the Breslin Center. Patrick Cordarinco scored twice and had an assist, and Taro Hirose had a goal and 2 assists to lead the Michigan State hockey team past Wisconsin 4-1 on Friday night at Munice Arena. The Spartans never trailed and got out to a 3-0 lead before the Badgers got on the board late in the second period. Wisconsin bounced back on Saturday, forcing a tie against the Spartans. Also, Michigan State women's golf team, they opened up its spring schedule with the first round of the UCF Challenge on Sunday in Orlando, Florida, where the Spartans shot a 3-under par 285 and are in 7th place right now. Allison Gear Park was one of 7 players in the field to shoot a 4-under par 68 at the Eagle Creek Golf Club and is tied for first place. Round 2 of the 54-hole tournament began at 8:45 a.m., and we'll keep you updated on tomorrow's current sports and on how that one pans out. And remember Donnie Corley, former Michigan State University wide receiver? The former highly touted Detroit King product as well has now found a new home. Corley tweeted on Friday afternoon, he, quote, "can't wait to ball out this fall at Texas Southern," end quote. He will be eligible to play in 2019, so Donnie Corley to Texas Southern. Corley played 1 year at MSU in 2016 and then was kicked out for his role in a sexual assault case. Spent last season playing for the Coahoma Community College's football team out in Oklahoma. So Donnie Corley, former MSU football player, now going to Texas Southern. And the Detroit Pistons looking to bounce back after their latest defeat, hosting the Denver Nuggets, who, on the other hand, have lost only once in their last 9 games. The Pistons are rumored to also have engaged in talks with the Memphis Grizzlies centered on veteran point guard Mike Conley Jr. I like this a lot better than the talks of Mark Gasol, Connor. I think they need a point guard right now desperately, and I think Mike Conley will be a good addition to the team. What do you think about that?
That's a good move, but they're going to need to unload some money. I mean, yeah. It wasn't a good money move for Blake Griffin. It turns out Blake Griffin has reinvented himself in Detroit. Looks like, I honestly think that's who Dwayne Casey's going to try to build this team around. He's probably going to do anything in his power to keep Blake around, because I don't even know if he's going to, at the expense of Drummond, maybe.
And they're paying Blake so much money.
And Conley's contract is ridiculous,
Conley at one point was the highest paid NBA player in the league. I mean, that which is shocking. Yeah. I couldn't believe that when I heard that, when that came out. But, yeah, so they're interested in Mike Conley Jr. He has been made available by the Grizzlies and has also been linked to the Utah Jazz and also the Indiana Pacers. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We're talking some MSU men's basketball. We're also talking, of course, the Super Bowl from last night. And you'll also get a chance to hear from Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Tom Izzo held his weekly press conference this afternoon at the Breslin Center. You'll get to hear a bit of what Izzo had to say today after having now, 2 days to let that loss against Indiana digest a bit. So a lot we got to get to. Let's keep this train rolling. Right, this dramatic intro is more entertaining than what we saw last night in the Super Bowl 53, in which the New England Patriots ended up pulling out yet another Super Bowl victory, 13-3, the final in what was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. It just wasn't fun to watch, you know? And for the first time, I think, ever, I watched it alone due to work. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't go to a Super Bowl party because it probably would have been maybe a little bit boring, you know? I mean, I'm sure you probably watched it with some people. Did you, Connor?
Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like at the party you went to? I mean, did you guys, like, tune out after halftime? Like, oh, my goodness, this is horrible.
At halftime, we plugged in the Nintendo Switch and played Super Smash for the rest of the game because nothing happened.
Really? You guys didn't even turn the game back on?
No. We had two TVs. So we had the entertainment TV, and then a couple weeks ago for the NFL playoffs, and since NFL playoffs and MSU basketball were happening at the same time, I'm like, all right, I'm going to put two TVs out.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I've just been too lazy to move the other TV. So we had it on one, and I would occasionally pause the game if the Rams got on an offensive drive, and then I'd unpause it because it would go 2 yards and the whole thing.
So you guys had the double TV. That's how we used to do it in college as well. We used to throw some pretty banging Super Bowl parties back when I was in college. And we used to have, I think one year we had three TVs going on. So, but yeah, it just wasn't a fun Super Bowl. You know, anytime you have the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time, you know, it's not, it's just not good television. Especially, this is the thing about Super Bowl. It's the biggest sporting event in our nation. I mean, many people consider it to be a national holiday, and many people are pushing that the Monday after the Sunday Super Bowl should be, you know, it should be mandatory for those who go to work not to have to come in on Mondays. That people are actually pushing for that because, you know, when the Super Bowl comes, I mean, you get together with your friends and family, and you have a party. Usually, it's become a national holiday. So this is the thing when you have so many people crowded around televisions across this nation watching the Super Bowl, you are going to have many, many, many casual sports fans who show up to that party. And, you know, you're going to have a lot of people who may not be into football like that watching the game when otherwise they wouldn't. If it was a typical Sunday in the NFL regular season or in the NFL playoffs, they would not be watching that game. So when they do tune in for the Super Bowl, they want to see something fun. They want to see some entertainment. You know, this is the Super Bowl. These are the two best teams who have made it to the plateau of football. And 13-3 happens? Just a major disappointment, a major turnoff. When it comes to the additives that come with the Super Bowl, that being the other forms of entertainment, like the national anthem, Gladys Knight, unbelievable job. We saw Chloe and Haley perform America the Beautiful. They were great. Unbelievable stuff. I thought that the halftime show was solid. I actually enjoyed it. Many people did not like it, though. And then the commercials. The commercials were okay, and they have been okay for a while now, all right? There was the occasional. If you had to peg your favorite Super Bowl commercial, Connor, I have a few. Number one would be the Super Bowl the NFL 100 commercial that had all these NFL legends in the room. Roger Goodell's up there. You know, he has a speech. Marshawn Lynch decides to, you know, grab the cake early. And at the top of the cake, there's a football. The football falls on the ground, and you have all these NFL legends. I think it was, oh, my goodness, I don't know who yelled fumble, but somebody yells fumble. And then all these NFL legends are basically playing football in a banquet hall. I mean, guys like Joe Montana. You know, guys like Barry Sanders, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Deion Primetime Sanders, you know, just Peyton Manning, Mike Shanahan. You know, the list goes on and on and on. It was a fun commercial. That was number one for me. Number two, probably the Alexa commercial was really good, I thought. I don't know if you saw that. I think it was Harrison Ford who was in that commercial with his dog, and his dog had the Alexa leash. They were just basically going through different ideas for Alexa commercials. And they had an Alexa hot tub. That didn't go too well. It, you know, ended up, you know, the water ended up shooting up and blowing the two ladies who were in the hot tub out. I thought that was a fun one. And the Bud Light commercials were hot. You know, the Bud Light partnership with Game of Thrones was pretty good. And also the one where they're going around saying, "Is this your corn syrup?" And they go to, like, I believe it was like Miller Lite, and then they go to Chorus. And they're basically making the point that, look, we don't put corn syrup in our beer. But that was fun as well. So, but overall, was in the Avengers did premiere a new trailer for the upcoming Avengers movie that will be out later this year. So those are some of my highlights when it comes to the entertainment additives that come with the Super Bowl, which was not the Super Bowl itself, not that entertaining. What were your favorite commercials? Real quick, Connor.
Bud Light was, those were funny. And then more of an ad or trailer was the, I don't know if you, did you ever read growing up, like the scary stories to tell in the dark? They were like really tiny books.
Yeah.
Becoming
a movie.
That's
now
becoming a movie, but it's Guillermo del Toro. And my understanding is they're actually, it's like, I can't think of the name of the other movie that did it, but it's like the separate stories over a movie length. So it's not okay. It's not like they're trying to jam everything together. It's just kind of like story one, story two, story three, which I cannot wait for because I love those growing up.
Yeah. So they had some good trailers out there. I didn't know Jordan Peele is going to be hosting a reboot of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
That was awesome. I didn't know that was even happening. So there were some really cool moments. Also the Pepsi, Cardi B, Lil Jon, Steve Carell combination was pretty cool as well. But so there were some cool moments, but overall it was just, When it comes to the game, just a few points I want to make about the game. Defense. It was defense. You know, and I don't know. You know, it depends on how you're looking at this, because I thought that the Patriots' defense was amazing. I think it was a bit of a combination of both, because Todd Gurley was not healthy in this game, Connor. He did not get a lot of touches, and I was sitting there saying, what is going on? I mean, Todd Gurley, you know, he's finally in there. You got to feed him the football to give yourself a chance. That didn't happen. And there were some moments where he was on the bench. Afterwards, he said he was fine. If you're fine, then why aren't you getting the touches that you deserve then? I mean, you're like one of, if not the best running back in the National Football League. The Patriots were able to get some pressure on Jared Goff all game, and he just looked frustrated. And there were some bad reads that he had from time to time. And it was just punt after punt after punt after punt after punt for that Rams offense. One of the highest scoring offenses in all of the league. So you have that. And also on the flip side, you know, why the Patriots only scored 13 points in this game. And I said this was the key. And this gave the Rams a shot in this game. It really did. And that was the pressure that they were able to get on Tom Brady. You know, and Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. Also, I'm going to give some credit to cornerback Aqib Talib. They played great. You know, it was a great setup by defensive coordinator, former Cowboy, Wade Phillips, in this game. And it frustrated Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he didn't have a lot of time. And then when he did, they had like this zone man situation going on where it looked like man at first. Tom Brady thought it was man. And then last minute, he realizes, oh, no, that's zone defense. So they were confusing Tom Brady a lot. It was defense. You have to give a lot of credit to both of these defenses. If you love defense, then you loved last night's game. The problem is 90% of football fans don't like a lot of defense to entertain them while sitting on the couch, especially watching the biggest game in football. Rams head coach Sean McVay, I got out-coached. He said that at the podium. He flat out admitted it. I got out-coached. Kind of an awkward moment, because right when he said that, Kyle Van Noy came right up to him and said, hey, man, good game, coach. And then Sean was just real smooth with it, like, hey, man, you know, thank you, Kyle. Really appreciate that, man. Thank you. I really appreciate that. But, you know, it's pretty obvious. You know, I didn't see really any adjustments that Sean McVay made as that game went on. You know, and all this praise that Sean gets for being an innovative mind in the changing game that is the NFL today, I didn't see that innovative mind really at work yesterday. Bill Belichick, the old savvy veteran, showed him up. And those lack of adjustments hurt the Rams. It really did in the end. And, you know, again, going back to Todd Gurley, you know, and even C.J. Anderson, who is like a human wrecking ball. You know, he's like a small butterball type figure who can evade some tacklers. I didn't see much of that last night. Now, again, it all depends on how you're looking at this, Connor. You can give a lot of credit to that Patriots defense, which I'm doing, but I'm also looking at it on the flip side and saying, why didn't Gurley get more touches? Why didn't Anderson get more touches, especially when Jared Goff, he just couldn't find anybody down the field? So, you know, I don't think Todd Gurley was 100%, and I think that's the inevitable conclusion that will come to as the offseason comes along, and maybe it comes out, you know, next year sometime. And, you know, wide receiver Cooper Kupp, you know, he might have been more valuable than we've admitted to this point. I also want to make that point as well, because, you know, Kupp, very reliable guy. You know, Goff started 0-for-7 on third downs, where really Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff, prior to the injury, I mean, that's where Kupp really made his living. His absence was extremely felt last night. Where on the flip side, you had O-Reliable and Julian Edelman, who ended up winning the Most Valuable Player Award last night. When things weren't working out for Tom Brady with other receivers, you know who he could go to? Julian Edelman. And Edelman, you couldn't guard him. He's show shifting. He kind of reminds me, again, Cowboys fan talking here, but he kind of reminds me a lot of Cole Beasley. Not real big, but he's quick. He's quick, fast, he's shifty. It's impossible to guard him one-on-one. And they even tried double-teaming Edelman last night. And Edelman would find holes in the defense. And I think on the final scoring drive, and this goes to the Rams coaching staff not making adjustments. That final throw to Rob Gronkowski, Connor, it was the same exact play that the Rams had run prior to. And the Rams didn't make any adjustments. And credit to Gronk, great catch. Credit to Brady, great throw. Because that throw had to fit in between three gold and blue jerseys. It was beautiful, but you didn't make any adjustments there. And you ended up costing you the game. And, at the end of the day, this is what the Patriots do. I mean, my goodness, it makes me wonder now. I mean, six rings. And, oh, by the way, talk about clutch. In all six of the championships that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have won together, all six have been decided by 8 points or less, and all six have been decided on a fourth quarter game-winning drive. Clutch? I think so. I mean, Tom Brady, this is what he does. So, and again, he wants to play until he's 45. Gronk, we still don't know if he's coming back or not. If I had to guess, I think Gronk may play one more season, and that's it.
He was limping off after the game. That was what countless reports were saying.
And he hasn't been healthy this season.
I think he's done.
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays one more and then retires. I think Brady's, though, set on 45. I think that's his number. And it makes you just wonder, I mean, how much longer can this team keep this thing going? I don't know. I wouldn't put it against him. Maybe one more, maybe two. I don't know.
I have a feeling that Tom Brady is going to go the way of Peyton Manning and stay 1 year too many, just because it's a trend among quarterbacks. You saw Terry Bradshaw, happened to Dan Marino, happened to Peyton Manning. Stay 1 or 2 years past when you should have retired, and it's just you look like a shell of your former self. I'm not sure. I don't think 45 is realistic, just because, again.
When do you think he'll fizzle out then? Is it going to be next year? Is it going to be
this year? He fell down a peg. He went from being immortal to mortal. Like, you don't, like, old Tom Brady doesn't lose to the Titans, the Jaguars,
the Lions,
the Dolphins. Yeah. He fell down above most quarterbacks, but he fell down to mortal realm this year. Mm. And then the Super Bowl, if you look at his game, that's a pretty mediocre game for a quarterback, let alone the greatest quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. I think you could see him fall a little bit more next year. Still, 11-5, 12-4 type of year. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I don't know. Especially he's got people forget, this dude busted his ACL, MCL back a little bit back.
He did.
You just don't know.
But he takes care. This is the thing about Tom, though. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He puts a lot of pride, kind of like LeBron James does. LeBron spends, like, I believe, something like crazy, like $5 million on his health and conditioning. You know, Tom Brady, he spends a lot of money as well on his body and making sure that he's fit and ready for another year. So we'll see. And I think that Tom, we may see. I'll give him at least two more years of playing at a considerably high level. Which is crazy that I'm saying that when the dude is already 41. So what do you say? Getting some comments here on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says Tom Brady and the Patriots won a game and a Super Bowl without cheating and without having the officials in their back pocket. Imagine that. Well, not all six of those Super Bowls. Well, prior to this, all five of the ones prior to this one, Ben, were due to cheating. I mean, come on, man. People take the cheating argument way too far. But six Super Bowls, hard to argue with now six. In a league that is certainly designed here in 2019, a league designed for parity. Pretty amazing stuff. Also, Ben says that I thought the Echo Dot and Alexa dog food commercial with Harrison Ford was really funny. Also thought that the hot tub bit in there was a good one as well. And Ben loved the halftime show by Adam Levine and Maroon 5, Big Boy and Travis Scott. It was hot. I agree. I thought that I had no problem whatsoever with the NFL halftime show. I don't know what people were expecting. I don't know. Were you expecting Prince? You know what I mean? I mean, you got to kind of like lower your. When I heard Maroon 5, I said, all right, this ain't going to be Prince. But, we'll see what they do with this. So my expectations weren't huge. So they were exceeded, I think. So, all right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk MSU men's basketball. You'll hear my thoughts on the loss to Indiana, and we'll kind of gauge where your panic meter is for this team moving forward now after the upset loss to Indy on Saturday. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Michigan State men's basketball. A pretty bad loss against Indiana on Saturday. College game day was in the house. You know, Reese Davis, Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis, Jay Williams. Thought it was a pretty cool broadcast. A lot of fans showed up. It was pretty packed. You know, Spartan fans showed up and showed out. You know, I saw something like, you know, the first fan was there at something crazy like 6:50, and it was in the teens early in that morning to try and get good seats. But, you know, I thought that the Izzone was fabulous. And, you know, it was very entertaining to watch. You know, to start the broadcast, I was surprised. Reese Davis took a shot at Indiana to start off the broadcast. You know, he kind of equated the cold outside here in East Lansing to how cold Indiana has been and the horrible shooting slump. And it just seemed like it was also a cool moment as Cassius Winston, Matt McQuaid, Josh Langford and Nick Ward. They came out for a bit in which they, you know, it was like a trivia segment in which they all were, you know, like who talks the most, you know, and they had like pictures of each one and they would hold up whoever talks the most. Then at the end, they were asked to do a Tom Izzo impression by, I believe, Jay Billis, who asked that question to him. And they all had great Tom Izzo impressions. But, you know, with College game day being in the house, you're playing a seemingly lowly opponent in Indiana. I feel like Michigan State overlooked Indiana. I really do. You know, Indiana, 7-game losing streak. They have not had a great season. You know, I think Michigan State was kind of looking at this game and saying to themselves, oh, we got this. Just looking at body language and demeanor throughout the game. You know, Michigan State didn't seem like they wanted it, like they really wanted it. When Indiana, it looks like they were in full desperation mode. They just seemed to play harder than Michigan State on Saturday. So, you know, I'm asking you guys to you know, weigh in on where your panic meter is. You know, we have a question on our WKAR news page, in which we have a few votes that have come in on where you guys are at when it comes to Michigan State men's basketball after the Saturday loss to Indiana. How worried are you? Two options are you in full panic mode, or are you basically saying to yourself, one game it happens? And right now, 83% are saying one game it happens. 17% are in full panic mode. And I kind of see that, you know, because look, free throws were the difference in this game. You know, because when you look at the stats, Michigan State shoots 45% from the floor, 43% from beyond the arc, just 10 turnovers, still lose the game. Well, Michigan State 8-for-22 from the charity stripe. 8-for-22. Now, Cassius Winston was really the kind of like the lone bright spot. He made all 4 of his attempts, but the rest of the team went 4-of-18. Nick Ward, 1-for-9. Yeah, it's going to be really tough to win if you go to the line that many times and you only hit 8 out of 22. So if you make just half of those, game over, and Michigan State escapes. That didn't happen. Also toughness. I question Michigan State's toughness. Even though they've been tough all year, Michigan State played soft on Saturday. They really did. You know, they weren't real scrappy. They weren't really fighting for rebounds. By the way, they were out-rebounded, and Izzo was asked after the game, you know, what part of the game are you most disappointed with? And he said the rebounding. You know, Michigan State out-rebounded 48-40. That usually does not happen. Also, Michigan State not getting in the post and doing the dirty work. And that really falls, for me, on Nick Ward. Because Nick Ward hasn't been great as of late. You know, he struggled at Purdue. 9 points, 4 of 10. He was held scoreless 2 games earlier, if you remember, against Maryland. 0 for 3. And, you know, Indiana, you know, you look at Indiana and you would say for Nick Ward, oh, my goodness, this is a game for you to really break out and just have a great game. That didn't happen. You know, he has the advantage. You know, looking at Hoosiers bigs like Juwan Morgan, who went down with an injury near the end of the first half. And you would think Ward would dominate the post. That didn't happen. And I still question Nick Ward when it comes to the double team. Because Nick is still struggling with that. When double teams come, Nick is still struggling when it comes to vision, locating who that open man is. You can take Nick Ward out the game if you double team him. That's what we're seeing right now. And he can't go ghost when he is double teamed. He just can't. You know, he went 5 for 12 from the floor. Izzo at halftime, when he was asked by Maria Taylor what's going on, you know, Izzo said that he's got to stop taking, quote, goofy shots, you know, and dribbling around the perimeter and get his butt in the paint. And to start the second half, he began to do that. But it makes you wonder, where had that been all game? You know, get great positioning, bully those guys down low, and turn for an easy bucket. So he just struggled. You know, he shot under 50%. And, you know, 1 for 9 from the free throw line. I keep emphasizing that, which has been an area of improvement for him this year. But, you know, over the last 4 games, Ward has 41 points, only 16 of 35 from the floor. We need more from Nick Ward. We got to have more from Nick Ward. If you are a Michigan State fan out there, you got to get more from Nick Ward. So my panic meter, I'm not in full panic mode because a lot of people are, you know, I look at that and I tweeted this out, Connor. I said, yes, Michigan State, they certainly are missing Josh Langford, and they will miss Josh Langford for the rest of the year. You just don't take 15 points a game from your team and say, oh, we're fine. That's still going to be an issue. But without Josh Langford, you still should be able to beat an Indiana team that was playing so bad prior to this one. So bad. You can't lose to Indiana. So what about Josh Langford? That should have been an easy win for you. And you gotta hit free throws. You gotta hit free throws. So a part of me says, yeah, I think they did. I think Michigan State overlooked Indiana a bit here. But I'm not gonna press the full out, all out panic mode meter button due to this loss. I think Michigan State will rebound, but you know, 2 straight losses here. We'll really get to see what this team is made of as they go to Illinois tomorrow night. So, all right, what I'm gonna do it. Let's start our final break. Ray, I see you. We'll take a few of your calls. I'll read a few of your comments. Also, do want to play a little bit of what Tom Izzo had to say during this afternoon's press conference at the Breslin Center. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that I'm sure wants to talk about Tom Brady's 6th ring. Ray, what's up?
That's the most frustrating Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life. They finally shut Tom Brady down. And for 3.5 quarters, it's 3-3. They had 9 straight punts. I give Belichick all the credit in the world. He put a zone defense to get him, and that kid didn't know where to go with the ball. and he was the deer in the headlights. And they couldn't get any running game established. I blame their offense and defensive line for that loss. They got a pass rush on him the first quarter, got an interception, got a fumble that should have been, they should have got on, they didn't do it. They missed the field goal. It was 3-3 in the middle of the quarter. You can say all you want to about Tom Brady. The first Super Bowl against the Rams and this one here, the defense won those two games. He didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. I mean, yeah, it was a defensive battle last night. You got to give Bill Belichick, as well as shout out to your man, Connor, Brian Flores, who's the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. He's going to be the next head coach of the Miami Dolphins very soon, Ray. But Brian Flores also put together a great game plan that frustrated the bejesus out of Jared Goff last night.
Yeah, but there was a pass rush on the thing. They should have come up with something different. Those wide receivers, I looked at the Rams down the field, they weren't getting open even a lot of times.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And then the thing of it, as bad as that kid played, he had two touchdowns. The first one, he was way late getting the ball to him. The guy's wide open. The guy recovers 6-8 yards and knocks the ball away. I don't blame him for that one, but I blame him for the second one. It went right through his hands. He's looking at the two receivers instead of worrying about the ball.
Yep, I know.
That's
I hear
the
you.
Difference between winning and losing. New England, they got a couple white dudes that hang on to everything.
Right, like Julian Edelman, right?
Yeah, and Gronk.
And Gronk, exactly, right.
And Gronk's going to retire, I think. I don't think he'll be back, but even if he comes back, they didn't have a deep threat. I can't figure out the last all three games, San Diego, Kansas City, and this game. Edelman runs a 16-18 yard pattern. They're double teaming, and the guy's still wide open. Why can't those guys cover 16-18 pass patterns?
Edelman is a very unique receiver. I think he's small and real shifty, and you got to have a corner, a DB who can match that speed and shiftiness. And if you don't, he will torch you. And Tom Brady will put it right on the money to him. So yeah,
they don't beat you with the deep pass. They beat you with the passes underneath all day long in the middle of the field.
And that's what also allowed them to also dominate time of possession last night as well, Ray. So
yeah, they did. They deserved that game. I do not. Yeah. I hate New England. I hate Tom Brady. You know that.
I know.
But I give them credit. Their offense and defensive line. They give up that sack to start the game, and they didn't give up a sack the last three quarters. What happened to the great pass rush of Sue was not meant to be found anywhere. And the other guy, he probably was double teamed, but somebody's got to get loose and make it more miserable for Brady than they did.
Well, early on, if you remember, they were able to get a few hits on Tom Brady.
In the first quarter.
Yeah,
and after the first quarter, the last three quarters, they always adjust. And these other teams, they act like, duh, I don't know what I can do against Belichick. They don't have a game plan.
Right. No, I'm with you, Ray. But so before we get you out of here, I'll ask you this. Tom Brady now winning 6 rings. Are you willing to call him the greatest quarterback of all time?
No. I call Joe Montana. I don't put cheaters and liars number one. And that's the way I always stand. Here's another thing. The Bullies get beat in Iowa by 15, 16 points. You're playing. I'm watching this game, and I can't believe how bad your offense stunk it up, and you can't get your free throws in. Buddy, when you play those Bullies twice, you ain't going to win either game if you don't get your – that's concentration, free throw shooting.
You are preaching to the choir, Ray.
I'm with you.
I know. This is exactly what I just said. I mean, Michigan
Indiana
State.
Indiana lost 7 in a row. They got beat by Michigan by 20 on their board.
69-46 on January 25th. Yep, I know.
How are you going to beat the Bullies if you don't start playing better?
You got to talk to them, Ray.
Yeah, you better tell them to start playing some basketball because they didn't show up for Indiana at all.
All right. Thank you so much, Ray. Appreciate it. Always good talking with you. Ray always brings the heat. As we come up on the close here on the hour, I wanted to play a little bit of what Tom Izzo had to say. Nothing really breaking. We'll put the raw press conference audio of what Tom Izzo had to say. We'll make it available on our website. That will be up at 3 p.m. Right now for Weekend Winners, though, I want to play a bit of what Steve Harvey had to say as he was the host of the NFL Honors on Saturday. I thought he did a great job. We got a few snippets of what Steve Harvey had to say during that monologue. Check it out.
I was in here tonight. I was out on the red carpet. I was walking around. I've just seen some people here, man. Y'all boys, I'm a fan of football. Jim Brown is here. Do you hear me? Do you know who that is? That's damn Jim Brown. That's a bad man. I seen some people backstage. I saw Brett Favre backstage, Ray Lewis, Ray in the house. That damn prime time, boy. Now, I ain't gonna, now listen to me. Tonight, I want you to understand something. I'm excited about being here, man. I've been wanting to do this show for a long time. What took y'all so long to ask me to host the show? Y'all done skipped all around me. Sat up here, you had Seth Meyers hosting the show. Seth. You had Conan O'Brien hosting the show. You done picked everybody but your boy. I've been a fan of y'all. Look at me. Don't sit here and act like you don't know me. You grew up watching me. I'm a damn football fan. Your mama loved me. Your grandmama loved me. Everybody in your family watch Family Feud. You gonna take your damn time picking me. You had Alex Baldwin do the show 3 times. Pick all these people. They don't even look like they are athletes. Look at me. I looked like I could have played. You know what I'm saying? Seth Meyers, if you throw Seth a football, he don't look like he can catch a football. But you've been dancing around, you boy. I'm glad you called me, because I'm here. And we're going to have a good time. I've seen all the Super Bowls. I watched everybody. All of us are in here tonight because of one person, Tom Brady. If Tom Brady wasn't living.
All right. You know, we had to cut it short because we're coming up with 30 seconds left. But he had an interesting solution to solving the New England Patriots epidemic of them being in the Super Bowl every single year. If you didn't check out Steve Harvey's opening monologue at the NFL Honors, just simply YouTube it. It's up there. It was a fun time. And Steve did a great job. All right. Well, that does it for this Monday edition of Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Tuesday. Be easy, people.